Bring in Joe Fisher, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, for our daily visit. Joe, what's going on with you this morning?
How you guys doing?
We are good. Getting ready for a big night of NCAA basketball tonight. And, you know, you look at all these matchups over the next two nights in the regional semifinals, and it's pretty much heavyweights in each one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a lot of surprises. And even the teams that are supposedly surprises are teams that have had a lot of success in the past, you know. So this is going to be a lot of veterans that have been through this before. And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder if you're really going to see any kind of major surprises from here on out. But there should be some pretty solid basketball starting tonight.
Joe, I was one of the idiots who wondered what Damari Carroll was thinking when he left Vanderbilt. And I think he would have been great for the Commodores program.
Yep.
But obviously his choice has been justified with the year Missouri's had. He's playing for his uncle, Mike Anderson, who is an outstanding coach. And Damari has been, you know, if he's not the star, you know, he's still one of their top two or three players, and they'll need him tonight to beat Memphis, obviously.
You know, he saw himself in a different role. He felt like if he played at Vanderbilt, he was going to be probably a person that played the three or the four position. And he felt like if he wanted to have a chance to play at the NBA level, that he needed to be a two guard, a shooting guard. And that was not really a strength or a skill set that he seemed to have when he was here. And he's gone there in that Missouri system, and it's a wide-open system, and they get up and down the floor. And he's really had a good year for them, a good solid year. They've won some big games. They've picked up a lot of confidence. This will be an interesting matchup because they sort of play very similarly to their opponent tonight. And, you know, hopefully he has a good game and does well because he's had a great year.
Joe, I want to talk about, you know, some former Commodore baseball players. And I knocked this around, I'm not sure, with Frank or with Kevin earlier in the week. David Price starting the season in AAA for Tampa Bay. And people ought to know, the Devil Rays, or the then Devil Rays, paid David, you know, a lot of money to sign, you know, that contract. And now the Rays have to worry about David's service time in the major leagues, and they're trying to slow walk him to arbitration. So the less time he spends in the majors, the longer it takes for him to get to arbitration. And I think they're sort of playing this game with him. They know they're going to have to pay him. They just want it to be later than sooner.
And that's true, but they're going to have to be careful with it too, because I know, and David took the high road on this when he was asked about it. He's not happy about it. And you know, he said, I think during one of the interviews, I'll probably have some feelings about it in a couple of days. Right now, it hurts a little bit. So he was kind of wise not to really go into much detail. I don't think it was a big surprise. They had sort of floated this, you know, even a week or so ago. But I think a lot of people felt when he pitched the way he did his last time out against the Yankees, they said, well, wait a minute now. What are we going to send this guy down for? And
well, this is the you know, that's the reason.
Oh,
it's service time.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I know David is surrounded by people who are smart and know those things too. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if David hasn't been on the phone with Tim Corbin on a relatively regular basis to stay in touch as well. But he'll be fine. It's a bonus for the AAA club, that's for sure, that their attendance will go way up on the nights he's there.
And Jeremy Sowers sent down to the minors by the Cleveland Indians. This is not a good sign. You were hoping to see him rebound this spring. The season isn't over, but I think it reflects now that he is more suspect than prospect for the Indians now.
I think he's on the clock, you know, for them now. And I think he was really hoping to get down there, show them that he had his stuff back, that he could perform at the major league level and earn his way to the club at the beginning of the season. Now he's going to have to take the harder road, and that's head down to the minors and show that he's got that stuff and work his way back up. So, nobody that I've been around works any harder at it than Jeremy does. And he's going to continue to do it because I know he still believes he's got some years left in him in the majors. But this is certainly a setback for him. It's going to make it harder to get back there.
Joe, a lot of teams this time of year want to get to Detroit in April. Yep. One team from Vanderbilt will be going to Detroit in April, and that is the bowling team for the NCAA championship.
That's right. They have a rather interesting way of doing it. Eight teams make the NCAA bowling championship, and they were announced yesterday afternoon, and Vanderbilt is one of the eight. And then they will go April 9th through the 11th is the championship.
Do they play for the big Ernie McCracken trophy?
I don't know what the name of it is, actually, but who it could be.
The big Ern.
You know, anybody run the list. But they go, and then they actually bowl first. All eight teams bowl on the 9th, and then they're seated after that, 1-8. So how you perform in that first session of games determines your seeding for the tournament. And then once they're seated 1-8, they go double elimination through bracket games, and it starts on Friday. So, you know, the good news is they've been through it before. They're veterans with this. They have a high expectation as a top ranking. They've won a national championship before, so they fully expected to be going to Detroit, and they are.
I talked to Brian Reese a couple of days ago, and he was kind of explaining how the whole process worked. It was actually pretty interesting to hear how they, you know, they figure it all out in terms of the seating and everything that you just described there a minute ago.
And, you know, Brian is chairman of the NCAA Bowling Committee, so he's been heavily involved in this process, how they do things. Things are going to change the way that they're continuing to evolve as a sport and as an NCAA championship. So he's a great guy to talk about it, and it is very interesting to see how they do it and take care of the business. But, you know, and things are moving along. I mean, in the sport, the championship game will be live on ESPN2 this year. You know, so they're beginning to work their way, you know, into the scale of more prominence nationally, and it's great for all of them.
And Brian said that 10 more years, and he thought he might be the head of the selection committee for basketball, so he was excited about that, too.
It's only a matter of time.
Right. One, they're gonna, the highlights of one moment in time at the end of the
One shining moment.
One shining moment, that's right.
There you go.
One shining moment.
The ball is rolled, and there you are. Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys.
Joe Fisher, voice of the Commodores each morning on the Wake Up Zone.